Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, the host of True Wealth. And today I'm going to try to get to some, I'm going to try to regress a little bit or digress and get back to some basics on some financial stuff to kind of educate you based on the name of the show. There's a concept for you. I dug out some old notes that I've had from the past. I don't get time to prepare as much now as I used to, and so I'll go through some of that stuff. I just want to say quickly that when I mention gold or I say gold, a lot of times that's kind of my catch-all phrase for all the precious metals. So when you hear that, you know, I think I've gotten better now. I'll call them precious metals or whatever, but if you hear me just saying gold, unless I'm telling you a specific attribute or specific performance of the specific metal, I'm probably referring to the whole gamut, the whole sector that we deal in. So, in other words, it just refers to gold, silver, platinum, palladium, as well as, you know, coin, semi-numismatic, and so on. We do a lot of educated, experienced decision making for investment portfolios to help people out. We have had a lot of, we've just had a lot of experience over the years with different things, and I think we're learning a lot about balance. That's become, I think, a major, major deal to us. Because when the market gets going real hot on one thing and everybody jumps on, it forms bad habits because you're not balanced. And I also have seen, even though I believe in the metals long term as a hard asset to preserve wealth, and it's what I save my money in, that and coin, rare coins. I have my portfolio consists of rare coins, precious metals. Of course, real estate as well. But I really like rare coins a lot. There's a lot of good numismatic coins, and I know a lot of people think, well, I don't know much about that. But you don't have to. We do, and we'll help you out. We'll handpick good stuff that we know based on historical performance will, you know, continue, or at least appears that it will. So real quick. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, as I said. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, gold, silver, coins, and collections. If you know anybody who's got a collection or anything to sell, have them get a hold of us. We'll take good care of them. Same with gold jewelry. A lot of people have that kind of stuff around, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what it's worth. I will tell you, when you use jewelry, is worth what it's worth. I mean, it's not. Some people have fantasies where they buy a new piece of jewelry, and you're gonna pay a retail markup. You may not even be aware or understand how retail works. I know before I was in it, it was a misnomer to me. And the thing is, the markups, when you get to these big chain stores and you think like Walmart, or, you know, you're probably not buying your jewelry at Walmart. But as an example, Walmart, you think, well, geez, you know, they're big and they sell cheap. But they really aren't, you know, you think they're not marking things up much. They're marking it up more than others because they have so much buying power. They get stuff a lot cheaper, but it's not uncommon in retail. In fact, the minimum markup is typically double to triple. When you get into jewelry, it gets crazy. And believe me, I know from firsthand experience, I've been there, done that, you know, and it's just the markups are very, very extreme. And so anyway, just to keep the long story longer, when you buy the stuff, you have to look at it as a novelty item. You go to Nordstrom's and buy some nice clothes. You know, when you walk out the door, they're worth $5 a piece and you just paid $100 or whatever, right? So it's, and no matter what you buy, you don't think, well, what am I getting back out of it? I mean, your car, you might check on now and then. Real estate, yeah. But you pay a lot of maintenance on your real estate too, including taxes and such. But when it comes to jewelry, people get this idea that they've got this, you know, great investment when they buy at retail from companies that sell it, not for the contents that are in it, but based on hype and hyperinflated pricing. So you can buy diamonds from us and rings, and they can be good investments. I mean, I have a diamond that I wear that has, it's a pretty substantial diamond, and it has gone up by about 150%. Well, it's now worth 250% of what I paid for it when I paid a very, very retail price for it. It was actually from the Marilyn Monroe estate. It was a center stone and a ring she got from JFK. I saw all the paperwork at the time. When the guy came back to sell it, and he sold it to one of my employees, and I told him to get the paperwork, and the guy said he'd bring it in, and then he passed away. So there went the pedigree for that. His wife didn't know where the paperwork was, so that's too bad. But even then, I didn't pay for the pedigree because I didn't have the paperwork. So that's anyway, you can make money on jewelry. I'm not trying to say you can't. I'm just saying don't. There's no time you're going to go into these retail outlets, and no matter if they're having 175% off sale or whatever they have at Fred Meyer, you're still paying too much. So just don't think. I mean, we have people come in here with stuff and they'll say, oh, Fred Meyer, you know, it was 75% off, and then I had an extra coupon for another 15%, you know, so they're getting 15% off of 75% off, and, you know, which is almost 90%, but they still paid too much. So I will just leave it at that, and I'll just say, you know, we do specialize in the purchase and sale of all types of precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. As I said, if you know anybody or yourself, you want to do anything, we also have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry. We don't really, you know, we're not really doing a lot. A lot of that is just kind of by appointment stuff. We do a lot of diamond consulting and things like that. We really, really do have a nice selection of diamonds, and you're not going to ever beat the price. People that check us out are just blown away. They almost can't believe it. I had a jeweler tell someone here recently that it wasn't possible that could be the diamond was what it was. That he said for that price, he didn't believe it. And we just photocopied the GIA certificate and sent it up. He just couldn't compete. So that's okay with me. We're fair. We wholesale to you, the customer. So that's about it. So people, you know, I would, if you have scrap gold or stuff sitting around, bring it in. You know, silver, extra silver, gold, whatever, we're interested in all of it. We're high volume, high integrity, low margin investment source for all your precious metals portfolios. We're also the best source for selling any coins or collections you may want to liquidate. And we like to help you invest your money wisely. I think a lot of people think of us as a bank or a gold bank where you can keep all your excess Federal Reserve notes and precious metals to preserve your wealth against the dropping dollar and inflation. I don't think people realize how bad the dollar's dropped. And you look at the dollar index and people say, what do you mean? I just saw or I just heard the dollar's strong. The dollar index, they call it a basket of currencies, okay? There's six of them extra than ours, and they are all going down. They're all fiat currencies, so they're all falling to the ground. They're all losing value. Occasionally what happens is one will fall faster than others. Well, all the time one will fall faster than others, which actually affects the ratio on the others, and it also makes it look stronger. But the point is they want to they can make one currency look stronger and one weaker, and it causes the world central banks to move currency around, and it makes them tons of money because they're moving trillions of dollars for fractional percentages. But trust me, that adds up in a big, big way. So that's that. So here's what I'm going to cover today. Other thing I want to touch on here real quick. Sorry, I haven't had some time to think, but this stuff with Trump, I mean, I know everywhere you go, you hear politics, 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 and I'm telling you, you can't avoid what's going on. This is so severe. The stuff that's coming up, that's rising up in this nation that I'm watching is blowing my mind. You know, I go back in my mind to the Obama times, And I remember him saying, you know, he wanted to fundamentally transform America. Well, he did. We didn't know it. He planted seeds. He combined Saul Alinsky with the Cloward and Piven strategy, you know, and then he also had a big dose of George Soros in there and a nice batch of communistic socialism, and he had a plan. The Cloward and Piven strategy is designed primarily to hang the welfare, quote unquote, of the people on the back of the government, to break the back of the government. They believe the theory that that will create a universal income, which gives you socialistic dictatorship, because people will get so dependent on the free handouts, they won't want to give it up. That happens. It's proven time and time again. Welfare is a bad program for people, okay? The point of it was kind of like unemployment, okay? You go on unemployment for a short period of time while you find another job. It's not a lifestyle. It's never designed to be a lifestyle, okay? But that's the whole point. They want people comfortable this way so that they will continue to vote. I mean, you look, folks, you know, when you see all the immigrants coming in, these guys are getting welfare. I mean, full throttle. And they're not American. That's the thing. There's so much garbage going on. Chicago has the highest murder rate per capita in the United States. Every weekend they lose about 50 people to gunshots. And you have the most liberal mayor. She's a radical fruitcake driving ICE out, you know, and there's sanctuary city stuff. And, you know, it's not really breaking the law anymore. You get the Cory Bookers and these guys who are in Beto O'Rourke who are running for president. And they say, well, they're going to create a law and the Republicans are going to have to obey the law about, you know, illegal immigrants being here and having to, you know, do this and do that and not, you know, deport them right away and put them through this big bureaucratic mess. Well, if they're so concerned about the law, you'd think they might be concerned about the illegal immigrants that broke it getting here. So just, you know what's going on. This country is being overrun on purpose. You've got people basically, you've got these Democrats and you've got a nation divided among itself. You've got Democrats that are running around. It's like we're a big ranch family, but you've got half the family running around opening gates all over the ranch and letting the cattle out and letting the wolves in, you know, and every time you work hard to try to fix that one, they're sneaking off and doing something else. Where I was going with this was this attack on Trump is absolutely heinously, terribly, ridiculously awful. I mean, it's horrible what they're doing to him. We have to remember, this is the president of the United States. It's Donald J. Trump. He was elected by the people. He's not just a big accident. The Democrats can't accept the fact that he won. They can't accept the fact that he won by highlighting their weaknesses, which happen to be a lot of corruption. That just eats Hillary up. She was called Crooked Hillary. She can't get over it. She's obsessing. She goes on shows even today. It's been over 3 years, and she's on there just obsessing and trash-talking Trump, and they're all on this campaign now to do this impeachment inquiry. This is the most ridiculous thing that's ever happened to a president that I know of. It's so far out there because there, you know, you get a whistleblower. Now think about it. A whistleblower. What's a whistleblower? A whistleblower is somebody who sees something that is otherwise in secret to others that a corporation or government agency is actually doing. How can, first of all, and he's a supposed CIA agent. Now, they can't give up his name because he's so afraid that Trump's going to kill him. Because Trump said, you know what they used to do with traitors? He said they used to take them out and hang them. He said, when we were smarter. He's right. You know, this stuff's ridiculous. And then, you know, so we got to go on this. But here's the deal. How can it be a whistleblower if the transcripts for the phone exist? They're not a whistleblower anymore. There's no whistleblowing of anything. Other people were in the room. So if you don't know what's going on, it's just they were just looking for anything, 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 anything. And they're jumping too hard. It reminds me of Black Lives Matter picking up like the Michael Brown killing. And then there was another one that they picked up. And they're not shut and closed cases. They're too marginal. And this is not grounds for the Dems to be standing on. It's like, so they say that Trump, you know, he found out about Biden bragging that he had his son got $1.2 billion with a B dollars from Ukraine in a Ukrainian oil deal, which his son had never done oil, never been to Ukraine, nothing there. It was just a big money transfer, a great big, you know, theft, basically. Collusion. You talk about collusion. $1.2 billion goes to his son in a, quote, business transaction. And then mysteriously afterwards, Biden is giving $2.2 billion to the Ukrainian government, okay? So what Biden's doing is he's writing huge fat checks while his daddy, Barack, probably signed the check. Give him, here's a check for $2.2 bill. Joey, you know, go get your son some money. And so his son gets $1.2 billion. He's going to give him $2.2 billion. And then he finds out this prosecutor is investigating his son, and he says to him, you've got 6 hours. I leave in 6 hours. You're not getting the $2 billion. They said, he quoted that he said that, and that they said, you don't have that authority. You're not the president. And he said, well, call the president. I have his authority. You know, he's behind me. $2.2 billion. And he's holding it back for a personal favor. He says, you have 6 hours. I leave. To fire the special prosecutor or whatever he was, the prosecutor that's tracking his son. So he gets him fired to protect his son, and then gives him the money. And he brags about it. So Trump gets on the phone with Ukraine, apparently, 3-4 weeks later, and talks to the guy. Now, Ukraine, this new president won on no collusion, no corruption. That was his motto in Ukraine. No corruption. So Trump calls him, congratulates him, talks to him about it. They chat, and Trump goes, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on there. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Can you do me a favor and look into anything, you know, that's going on over there that might be affecting our elections and whatnot? He never mentions Joe Biden's name. And then this whistleblower, quote unquote, comes out and says, oh, you know, and they have this big phony transcript they wrote up about what Trump said. Oh my gosh, he, you know, do me a favor and go after Joe Biden and, you know, to win the election and all this. So then, you know, all baloney. So then they get the real transcript. Trump releases it. Government document done by people that work for the government in that specific capacity with no other ties to Trump. So guess what? That transcript doesn't line up at all with the, quote, whistleblower story. So what does the left say now? Oh, Trump must have doctored the transcript. We don't believe the transcript. It's not real. Are you serious? It never ends, right? It just keeps going. And I don't want to beat this to death, but I am. Anyway, the, you know, so here we are, and they're having impeachment inquiries over stupid stuff. The thing is, folks, you know, when you get kind of like that Robert Mueller, you know, that did the investigation on Trump. I'm telling you what, Trump is clean. He has to be. They are coming down on him like a hawk, and we need to be praying, Lord, I pray that you put an absolute bubble of protection over Donald J. Trump, our president. Pray that you give him wisdom and might and strength and energy and just absolute mental alertness. I pray that you'd give him insight and discernment as he literally rules the world. And I pray that you'd destroy his enemies. We've all got enemies, Lord, but he's got them big. And the enemy's showing himself now. The Holy Spirit can detect it, but we can see it with our own eyes. They can't control themselves. They're coming out. So it's kind of like when righteousness prevails, evil rises up. Or vice versa. When evil rises up, righteousness rises up more. What's that tell you? Donald Trump just might be a righteous man. You know, that's what I see. And Obama was not. He literally brought black spirits, dark spirit, a dark spirit, we'll say, to the White House. And no, that wasn't a racial statement. It's just a dark spirit. I mean, it's there. And Trump's come in and cleaned it out. But look at D.C. as a dark spirit. It's not a good place. So here we go. As I said, pray for Trump. Stand behind him. If you can contact congressmen, senators, anybody, and tell them, this is absurd. This is ludicrous. This is ridiculous. These Democrats are nuts. And if you write a Democratic senator or congressman or woman, don't disclose your political beliefs. Make them think you're on their team. They'll listen a lot better if they think you're one of them. But if you tell them you're not one of them, they won't listen. And I just happen to know that from personal experience. So anyway, so I got some notes I grabbed on kind of on the history of gold. Gold is the key to liberty. I titled this. This is written quite a while ago, but it's still relevant today. So it's kind of the history of gold, a little different take than what I usually do on the show. But I've had so many requests over time, and people I know really well that have listened to the show for a long time say, hey, we talk about money and finance and gold and economics. You know, that's what you are all about. And I mean, they don't dislike the show, but I think they want to see a little more of a balance in there and of what we were. So I'll do a little bit of that today here. So here we go. The mention of gold begins in the Bible, as I've discussed, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, where God tells of the gold in the land of Havilah, and then he deems that gold is good. And that is a reference to a location which was rich in gold prior to the flood. Since the flood, there have been no amazing gold reserves found in that area. So either the gold was all mined prior to the flood, or the gold is still there waiting to be discovered, covered up by the flood. So in that I've discussed it, but briefly, where he says gold is good in Hebrew, that's tab. And it's the best, it's the greatest, it's happiness, and it's investment, and it's wealth, and prosperity, and beneficial, and every positive word. It's the same word that God said that he saw his creation and saw that it was good. So that's kind of where economics begins. So gold and silver end up basically being mentioned in the Bible, at least in the NIV, I looked it up, over 800 times, okay? The final mentions of gold and silver prophesied in multiple locations in the Bible, found in end times descriptions, are found in end times descriptions given by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Book of Revelation. The Bible clearly states that people will be throwing their gold and silver in the streets at the end of time. The end of the end, when all is bad, nothing is good, judgment is coming, and our relationship to God is all that matters, which tells us it's lasting all the way. So when people ask you, who's going to buy it when it does this? And who? People don't understand. People that don't deal in metals and gold, there are questions always like, well, if the price goes way up, who's going to buy it? Folks, what don't they get, I guess, is supply and demand economics. What causes the price to go up is what? Demand. People buying it. If people aren't buying it, the price won't go up. So it's a given. And it's an absolute fixed asset, commodity. People can't understand it because even though we have an innate desire for it, if we aren't dealing with it on a daily basis as we were for millennia, we don't know. We don't get it. It just makes no sense. It's just, to them, it's just like someone said, they think of it, this is totally off base. But to them, it's like someone says, okay, well, all, you know, red rocks are now money. Or, well, let's just trade bags of rice or something. You know, that's what they see it as. They don't understand all the divine properties and the divine authorization. And it's literally created, authorized, ordained by God and as money. And it always has been and always will be. And it's not subject to the second law of thermodynamics, which means it's it counteracts one of the laws of nature. It doesn't respond. It doesn't break down. Very interesting. So gold and silver, of course, are mentioned throughout the Bible as a form of wealth, a description of beauty, material riches and blessings from God. And, you know, God blessed many of his people with lots of gold and silver and, you know, children. But, you know, gold and silver are money. And that's the first thing that God blesses us with. Money is a stumper for a lot of Christians because they don't like to talk about it and delve into it, and it stresses them out. And so they love the Christianity, the version they have in their mind where you don't talk about money. And if you worry about your money, you're not being godly and you're not trusting God. That is not at all what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say if you can go ... money is the root of all evil, but that's not what the verse says. So it's the love of money. It's not, and we have to, sorry for the mic noises there, moving around, but we have to get ourselves aligned financially. God shows us in multiple parables in the New Testament that we are judged for the way we handle our money, our talents, right? Our gifts. I mean, money shows up all over the place. Money even shows up when Judas Iscariot sells Jesus off. You follow me, right? So money is something you've got to face. You've got to run to. If it bothers you, stresses you out, you need to get into it until it doesn't. And if it does, it may be because your family, the way you were raised, mishandled and misappropriated it, never saved, paid bills late, stacked them up, made huge piles and huge messes or whatever. I've talked to people and seen things. Trust me, people are crazy the way they handle money. You know, but that's then God can't give you more. You're not being faithful with little. He sure ain't giving you much. So just remember that. You want more? You got to be good at what you do. And you don't sit around, you know. There's different mentalities. The one mentality is to do nothing. And then if you make a mistake, say, well, I sure didn't mean to do that. But you didn't mean not to. You need to be purposeful. God commands us to act and to behave and to be catalysts and to be proactive, not to sit back, do nothing, and have no motivation or drive. I've watched this stuff before with people. I mean, once you know God, you can enjoy this earth properly, right? And it doesn't mean you're not going to have mistakes and things like that. But it's a beautiful thing. God leads us to him, or wants us all to come to him. And for those who do, praise God, and hopefully more will. It's very simple. All you have to do is turn. It's the simplest, hardest, cheapest, most expensive gift there ever was. We have to turn our will over to the Lord, our Creator. And it's interesting how you can be spiritually blinded with the lies of evolution and all that kind of stuff, which is why, you know, in the beginning, God created, the Bible says, if you start at the beginning. So man has to go after it in the beginning, evolution, you know, and then we've got, you know, Adam and Eve, and they do Adam and Steve, and we've got, you end up with, like I said, Darwin and his stuff, Karl Marx. We've got God gave us freedom and liberty and inalienable rights. Then we have to have Karl Marx come in and say, no. You get rights from the government. You need the government to protect you. Not just protect you like our government's supposed to, but to protect you from yourself and from other people like you. Only the government knows best. Nobody, all these lefties hate the, you know, they'll talk bad about all these people that are dumb and stupid but they want the government to do everything. Well, who's in the government? I mean, what is wrong with these people? Who, you know, they don't realize you turn all this authority over to the government and you're going to create a dictator or monarchy. You know, it really does occur. I mean, it's just the natural course of things when you have people that are given too much authority and too much power. The government is not God, well... Our government is designed to protect us from outside attacks and, of course, inside attacks, but primarily to protect our rights in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution. That's their job. And then you're supposed to vote state to state based on their own individual rules, laws, and regulations. The states are supposed to be like little countries that operate within the guidelines and boundaries of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Unfortunately, the Fed's gotten its nose in all that, and you know the rest of it. Really, folks, Abraham Lincoln started a little. FDR during his reign, the government grew over a thousand times in size. That tells you he was a radical socialist. Later on in the Freedom of Information Act, there was papers that were retrieved that showed that when the McCarthy trials were going on in McCarthyism, and they acted like he was so crazy, they always do this, right? He said, I just want to know if there's communists working in our government. Well, he already knew it. And long after FDR got out, 50 years, so it would have been 96, they got the Freedom of Information release, and it did show. Oh, that's also, they also got a bunch of documents after Russia fell, and that's what it was. And they actually proved that there was 33 Soviet people on the Soviet payroll working for FDR. I mean, that, you don't think that has an impact on stuff? I think it was William Leahy or something like that was his chief of staff that wrote executive order that all FDR would have had to do, hypothetically, is sign it and give himself dictatorial powers. Emergency act. Well, it probably would have got shot down in the eventually by the Supreme Court. But if he took that over and the military followed him, that'd be a very confusing situation. Would the Supreme Court even continue to exist, or would he shut them down? I mean, we were that close. That's the problem with these people, is they think they know best. They really think they know what is best. And then, on up it goes all the way till today. We're still paying for all those sins of yesteryear. So another, gold and silver, I explained, or all throughout the Bible, with all these beautiful descriptions and material riches and blessings from God. And, God blessed all of his great people with gold. And it's also got, divine properties. We've talked about it. Doesn't succumb to the second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy or breakdown. And it's beautiful, and it's been used forever, everywhere, and it's fully recoverable, retrievable. It doesn't dissipate, there's no electronics process that will cause it to break down. So it's always there, and it's always been the pinnacle form of wealth in every society. So another wonderful sidelight is that once Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven to come to the earth as our Redeemer, the very first gifts he was given were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first welcome consolation on earth was gold. So God set that up. That says something there. The most amazing thing that God shows us about gold is that he, God, will use it to pave the streets of heaven. Now, will it be the exact type of gold we know? We don't know, but it's called gold, and it's the word for gold. For the element in Greek and Hebrew, there is no variation. People say, oh, it's just symbolic. No, God doesn't prophesy symbolically. He also doesn't lie. And if he tells you there's gold in heaven and there's no gold in heaven, I mean, if he tells you there's something there that you know what it is and it ain't there, he's not honest. So that's not God. It's the real deal. Gold's big on earth. Big in heaven. There's, throughout the Bible, it's everywhere in heaven. People joke around, about St. Peter, where they say gold's worthless because they say, some guy gets, I don't have the whole joke going, but I'll just tell you the punchline to ruin it. Spoiler alert, but a guy somehow gets a wish and he can take whatever he wants to heaven. wants to happen. So, you know, I don't remember, one guy shows up with a briefcase of whatever and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Then the last guy shows up with a big brick of gold, and Peter says to him, why did you bring pavement? You know, in other words, it's to make it sound, you know, cheap and cheesy and it's funny or whatever, but it's not. You have to realize God does things the absolute most magnificent and best. If you go to the most phenomenally constructed and architecturally designed structure on earth, whatever, wherever that may be, or the top 10 or whatever, they will not hold a candle. Not even a fractional, minuscule concept of heaven. Because God is the great creator who created us and gave us the ability to create. We're kind of like, we're advanced artificial intelligence, I guess. Artificial to God, real to us. So, you know, that's that. For those of you who don't know, that's the, you know, that St. Peter joke. Now you have the punchline. So at the pearly gates, he says, you know, one man was offered the opportunity to bring, oh yeah, and whatever he could get into one suitcase into heaven, that's it. And it said on his way up, he needed the assistance of two angels to carry his suitcase. When he got to the pearly gates, St. Peter opened the suitcase to see what he had inside. It was filled with gold. St. Peter then asked him, why, if you could bring anything to all to heaven, would you bring pavement? So there you have it. Gold is pavement in heaven. Okay? It's also worth noting that each and every society throughout world history that has had an economy that engaged in commerce in any way whatsoever has used gold and silver as its central and primary form of wealth and currency. Throughout all written human history, all civilized nations have used gold and silver until lately. And even then, with all these central banks operating, many of them have massive quantities of gold to back them up because they're smart, smarter than our country. Our country is the, you know, the pinnacle. This country's so blessed. We're the pinnacle. God continues to bless us. I will say, you know, the abortion rate has dropped year after year after year due to science. People have seen, you know, the movies, the silent scream. They're learning more about the development of an embryo. Just the constant bantering and clashing over it is giving people more insight. You know, it was always this concept that abortion was this dark, you know, you didn't know what you were doing because the doctors hid everything and no one knew anything. And now they've just got it so proven out how bad, how real it is. It's a human being, okay? Bottom line, it's a human being. And that, I will say, is terrible that it happens. And now, you know, the Dems are always arguing, oh, they want to go clear up till the day of birth. I mean, folks, this is what we're up against. This is such a spiritual battle, and they are convincing people, kids. You know, Karl Marx said, give me the media or the newspapers at the time and the schools, and I need not worry about overtaking the parents or the adults. That's what he said. And he, you know, he just by taking over the school systems and brainwashing the kids, he can sway the home now, but ultimately he's building the future generation for communism. And that's, you know, that's where we're at right now in this country. I'm sincere about that too. So in the Bible, God attributes four basic categories of things as having timeless intrinsic value. I think there may be one more here. I missed. This is older. On earth. Okay, so there's five probably. Gold, silver. Well, gold and silver is one, I suppose. Livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. I didn't have that in there. But you think about it, you know, real estate's obvious. There's a fixed amount of it. It keeps going up over time for the most part. Especially if it's waterfront, which during the flood, real estate must have got really expensive because it was all waterfront, right? Or maybe not. Maybe there was a little shortage of buyers at the time. I think the market was a little soft back then. So anyway, you know what livestock is. Livestock kind of, you know, real estate, livestock, you get crops, any kind of food, you know, any, there's all kinds of things you can do with, you know, where you can qualify livestock, but you know what that means, I think, for the most part. So those are the things. And then, of course, you and I are the only thing God's created that can create wealth. And that makes us unique. I mean, that makes us unique among the angels, among all of God's creations. That makes us unique among Lucifer, Satan. That's why he hates us, despises us. We are redeemable. We can change our minds. We can change our spirit. Maybe it's because we're given the spirit. You know, the Bible talks in Genesis 6 before the flood that the sons of God married any of the daughters of men they chose, which, like I've said in the past, the guys must have been pretty, the sons of God were probably pretty good-looking dudes, like the Rock with wings. They could marry any of them they wanted, but then God says, my soul or my spirit cannot contend with man forever. I'm going to basically shorten his lifespan. At that time, he said to 120. And then he said, I have to destroy it all because there's all these species and races around. But here's the interesting part. Why would he say, I cannot contend or my spirit can't contend with God for, with man forever? I think it's because these Nephilim, these sons of God, when they bred, they either didn't have a spirit, as you and I do, they were immortal, I think. Well, it's pretty, actually, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's a book of giants that talks about Enoch and Noah going to the giants, telling them what's coming, and, you know, literally having a dialogue and eventually dragging him to the deepest valley on earth or something like that, and then getting a special material given to them by some angels and tying these things up, these giants up, until the end times. So they're not dying. Even though they're, you know, they're going to go through the flood and everything else, they don't die. They're immortal, which is pretty interesting. Even with that, you and I, we're immortal too. Our spirit is immortal. We don't die. We just go on. That's why we got to get things lined up with God ahead of us and not get too attached to this earth, because this is just the starting blocks of the long, long, long race, a good long race. Heaven is good. It's great. There's going to be a lot to do there. It'll be pretty fun. So anyway, so we've talked about that. That's okay. I said there's four categories. People, of course, have the greatest value of all of the those things biblically attributed as true wealth, even more than a spotted owl or a rare species of plant, which they tend to like to shut down industry for. Again, more left wing radical craziness. I was just thinking too. You know, with the stuff against Trump and this impeachment inquiry, again, pray for the man, please. But it's false accusations. I mean, the Fourth Amendment, or Fourth Amendment. How about the Fourth Commandment, I think? It's, you know, to not bear false witness. They're lying. So God will prevail. The truth will prevail. I was going to go over Psalms 37 a little bit today. Maybe I will. I'll see where I get on this. Probably not. Who knows? But anyway, so there's no doubt that there are some very special properties that gold and silver have. As I mentioned, people of all nations and nationalities are somehow drawn to these metals, gold especially. As the world was discovered by the Crusaders at the end of the Dark Ages, every major civilization they found, whether in South America, South Africa, or the Orient, one thing that all these civilizations had in common was that they had all chosen to use gold and silver as their premier and pinnacle form of monetary wealth and exchange. And as a last point, I've discussed in the past on the attributes of gold, there was a Harvard PhD that I have written down here, did his thesis on the theory that all major wars throughout history had stemmed from the desire for gold somewhere in its roots at one level or another. I find this fascinating, but they did a study with the psychology department to test his theory that humans had an innate desire for gold. They put children between the ages of 2 and 5, they say, in a room with toys, and a pure 1 ounce gold coin was introduced to them. After a period of time, let's see here, all of the children would pick up the gold coin and not put it down. Then they would introduce another child of similar age, this is a simplification too, by the way, of similar age to the room. If they had not already seen the pure gold coin, they would make it apparent to them. They state that in almost every case, I think it was like 18 out of 20, the two children would engage in some type of struggle over the gold coin. In some cases, they used violence or, you know, physical altercation. Some would use diplomacy or pleading, crying, manipulation, distraction, etc. According to the study, the majority of the children desired the gold. So it shows that we have an innate desire, as I mentioned. In Joshua chapter 6, just prior to Jericho being toppled, Joshua told the people, "All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." That's a quote. "All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." Further on in Joshua chapter 6, we read, quote, "Then they burn the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house." So God likes that stuff. He likes you to have it, and he likes me to have it, and he made it for a reason. And even though we've gone to fiat currency, it will fail us, I assure you. It may be a while. People say, oh, there's going to be a currency collapse, or what do they say, a reset. I used to believe in the reset theory. I don't know. Why would they? They don't want to ever admit fault. All they have to do is continue to hyperinflate. Can you even comprehend how much they're hyperinflating the currency each and every day? And over time, it just creeps up on you. It really, really steals your buying power, your spending power. That's why, you know, the Dow is just through the mountain. And when will it end? We're tapping 30,000 here soon. Good luck with that. I mean, if you're buried in that thing, do not be greedy. The way markets come apart is right before everybody has sell orders in. So like the Dow at 30, people are in that index. They're going to be wanting to sell right there. You know, there's certain nice round numbers. You want to sell out right before those numbers hit. Same thing with gold when it almost hit 2000, and silver, $50, almost hit 50 bucks. But it was being manipulated by Fidelity Magellan, the largest mutual fund in the world at the time. They were playing with physicals and futures. Short contracts, long contracts, big money, big leverage. So it's, you know, it's the real deal. And everybody wants it. They want to manipulate it. They want it. But the establishment, whether it be banks, stockbrokers, you know, any kind of investment advisors, even the IRS, the Treasury, you know, none of them want you to have the metals because it's anonymous and transportable and liquid. You can sell it. There's no 1099 reporting on a lot of the products, and, you know, based on quantities and whatever the law. The laws are very simple, and there's the majority of what we sell, the vast, vast majority of what we sell is not reportable. If we sell anything that is, it's at the customer's request, not at our own. It's private, it's anonymous, it's liquid, it's transportable, as I said. So you go back to what I was talking about about putting the gold and the silver and the articles of bronze and iron in the treasury of the Lord's house. The Holy of Holies was completely overlaid, okay? That's the great temple of Solomon. The Holy of Holies was completely overlaid with solid, pure gold. In fact, the instructions for building the temple and the specific descriptions of gold that Solomon acquired to build the temple verifies that by today's pricing standards, in other words, actually this was yesterday's pricing standards, it's probably about triple now what it was when I wrote this, the Holy of Holies, so completely overlaid, by today's pricing standards, it would have been, the Temple of Solomon would have been well in excess of $1 billion in gold. Okay, now probably $2.5 to $3 billion, just in gold that was used to build his temple to house the Ark of the Covenant. It's very likely that nothing before then and nothing since then has been built or ever will be built with so much gold. There's no question about it. You think of all the things that have been built. The greatest of the greats was the temple of God, full of so much gold. That shows you how comfortable Israel was at the time, how safe they felt. Solomon was a great leader, blessed by God, wise as they could be. People came from all around, but he knew he could read hearts and minds. The guy was incredibly wise. It says he had over 3,000 parables memorized. Well, he happened to have written them all. And I'll tell, and Proverbs, that is. But, you know, true wisdom. So the Holy of Holies was completely overlaid that way. It was in excess of billions, we'll say, worth of gold used to build it. Nothing before or after has been like it. And then, so here's the history of money. We don't have much time. I'll start today and pick up on Wednesday. So the U.S. was born in 1776 out of rebellion, in part against British domination over monetary policy and the rights of money creation. People don't realize that's a big part of sovereignty, national sovereignty. It's a key ingredient. In 1792, the U.S. dollar was conceived under the U.S. Coinage Act, which made the dollar the equivalent of 24.75 grains of gold. A grain's very little. So a silver dollar was, you know, equivalent to 24.75 grains of gold, which I'm sure means a lot to you. Which that set a monetary standard of value that could not be negotiated, manipulated, or cheated in any way. Which was, this was done because the British rulers had begun to manipulate the value of currency by changing coins in their contents. There was no legislation that said what it had to be. So everything we did in this country was the greatest effort to do it the right way. Praise God. Okay. In Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution of 1787 and the U.S. Coinage Act of 1792, or, you know, Constitution 1789 when it was ratified, written in 87 beginning, and anyway, so we'll say 89, and the Coinage Act of 1792, Congress was authorized as the only entity with the power to create and regulate its value, or create money and regulate its value, and to provide the punishment of death to anyone caught counterfeiting this money. It literally said, if anyone counterfeits or debases the currency, they shall be put to death. Just like Trump talked the other day, traitors and treasonous traitors, how about that, were hung. And we killed people when they messed with our money, which is, it makes sense. So in 1797, John Adams warned Thomas Jefferson that control over the issuance of money should never fall into the hands of private interests. Interesting, isn't it? The only thing the government that was created to keep the government out, the only thing the government wanted control over was the production, creation, and regulation of money. Isn't that interesting? In a country where money, or where government regulation was being phased out or trying to be legislated out. So that's how important it was. They knew better. They knew people. They knew history. They knew it all. And so, you know, John Adams warned Thomas Jefferson that control over the issuance of money should never fall into the hands of private interests, as it had in the case of the Bank of England and Bank of France. Thomas Jefferson issued this warning. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency first, now think of that. This is after they've decided Congress is in control. He said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Hey, Thomas Jefferson was a pretty smart guy. I've read you quotes that he predicted socialism and the transfer of wealth. And here he's telling us they're going to use inflation and deflation. Once banks get a hold of our money, inflation and deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around them and deprive the people of all their property until what? Their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. You know the homeless, quote, crisis we're dealing with. is right before us today. So I am going to hold off till Wednesday on the rest, which is the creation of the Federal Reserve. It gets actually interesting, and then I can go into the stock market crash of 29 and confiscation of gold, as people call it, and all, you know, and hopefully educate you and make you a little bit smarter than you were the day before. So I thank you again for tuning in. I wanted to ask again, we do the, you know, the review thing. We're a pretty respected company. We want to always treat you right and do good. But people, you know, with my statistics education, one thing they drilled into our head, people do not typically do voluntary surveys or ratings unless typically they are highly emotional about the transaction. So people come in, they have high expectations. When their expectations are met, they leave and they forget about it because life was good. I've even had problems with companies or people. And once they make it right, you forget. It just has happened. But until they make it right, you don't. So, you know, that's one thing. So people don't voluntarily go out. So we're asking you, if you, you know, give us business rated related reviews, Google, Yahoo, Yelp, whatever. You do one, you get a silver dollar. You do three, you get two silver dollars. Morgan's, nice quality. Definitely worth the time. Very nice Morgan's, I'm telling you, folks. People have been pretty surprised by that. So that's a big help for us. Please do that. Google, Yelp, Yahoo, whatever. Facebook, you know, be sure and do Google and Yahoo, and get them out there. Give us a call. We'll verify it and we'll get you your free silver dollars. And, also if you want to save and build a portfolio, there's a nice dip in the market, but folks, the market's alive and well, stocks are high. The coins and metals are at a good value. This is time to take advantage. It really is time to get in. I'm a firm believer right now. This is a great time. We are seeing movement, so you're right at the cusp of activity, heading into the big movement times, the fourth and first quarter of the year. So take care. God bless. Thanks. See you later. Bye.